Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to God's Resurrection Power Church of Christ Ministry. My name is Apostle David Callender. I'm your host, and Holy Spirit is our overseer. We are a Bible-believing ministry that's teaching and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and reaching the lost souls of this world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We are excited to be here this morning because this is the day that the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing and we are glad. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank the Lord. We bless the name of the Lord Jesus because without him, there will be no us. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. Glory to God. You have to praise him. You have to glorify him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, yes, Father, we just thank you. We praise you, oh God. We magnify your name, Jesus. It is your name. Your name. Your name that we praise, oh God. We praise you, oh God. We praise you. We praise you, oh God. There is no one like you, Jesus. We praise you. And we honor you, Jesus. We praise you. And we honor you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let us just set this up. 10, 2, and Second Corinthians. 10. Hallelujah, 10. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, Father, we just thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. We thank you for blessing us with eyes to see, ears to hear, feet to walk, and hands to mouth to talk, O God. We just ask today, Lord, that you bless us. Bless us this day as we yield our members to you, God. We ask you, Father, to forgive us of every thought, every word, every action that we may have committed, known or not known, O God. We repent of our sins today, Lord God, for they are many. And we bring them at the foot of the cross. We lay them at the foot of the cross today. In Jesus' holy name, we pray. We pray. Lord. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. Thank you.
Thank you. Father.
Name, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Let me switch over to these other Bluetooth, and then we can continue. We sing hallelujah to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. We give him the highest praise. Hallelujah. Highest praise we give to him, because he is worthy.
He is worthy. Glory to God, he is worthy. We are so blessed to be here today. Every day is a day of thanksgiving. Giving him thanks for granting us a another day. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me just pick this Bluetooth off and go to another stuff.
Hallelujah. Of the Lord. As the Bible says, that in his presence is the fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So good to be here this morning. I tell you the truth. It's good to be here this morning. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus to honor him. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for allowing us to be in the land of the living. Oh, Father, we thank you for being our healer, our deliverer, our restorer, our comforter, our shield and our buckler, our strong tower. We thank you, oh God, for being our defender, the one who fights our battles, oh God. Lord, we just thank you, Father God, that when we feel that we can't make it, you said not to worry because you are with us. We ask, oh God, that you touch the north, the south, the east, and the west today.
and that you allow your word to go far in there, as you have already saturated the atmosphere with your presence, fertilize the atmosphere, moving every unclean spirit out of the atmosphere. We thank you, O God, that your word will go out and with in the mighty name of Jesus. Today we are talking about, we are talking about battling for the faith or fighting for the faith. And if you don't fight, guess what's going to happen? The enemy is going to take over. If you don't fight, the enemy will take over.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody in computer land, can you hear me out there? Because I'm shifting some things around. I believe so. Okay. Hallelujah. So we are talking about battling for the faith or fighting for the faith. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and let's listen to what Paul is saying. Because these apostles and prophets and men and women of God of old has left, they have left a schematic for us to follow, a blueprint for us to follow. Sometimes we don't follow it. Sometimes we deviate from the past. We shift from the past. How many know that if you make a decision to serve, to follow God, if you make a decision to, and you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you make that decision that you're going to follow him, that you're going to have a fight on your hands. You're going to have a fight on your hands because the enemy is going to try everything to stop you from living for Christ. I don't know if you know that. The battle that we are fighting is not a physical fight. It's not a physical battle. It is a spiritual battle. And this battle that we are fighting, most people try to fight it standing up. But this is a battle that has to be fought on your knees. Because the Bible says that the weapons are your, of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So you can only pull them strongholds down when you operate in the spirit realm. And to get in the spirit realm, you've got to go down on your knees. Somebody say you can't get up until you go down. You can't get up until you go down. First, you must fall down until you get up. Now, here in this word, Paul is speaking to us. And he is speaking loud to the church. Glory to God. Because the church must get to this place where the church understand that we are in a war. Hallelujah. We are in a war. Hallelujah. Here in this text. Now I, Paul, appeal to you myself by the humbly, by the humility and gentleness of Christ. Let me read that again because I see that word differently. Now I appeal to you myself by the humility and gentleness of Christ, who, when I am present in person, am humble among you. But when I am absent, I'm bold towards you. In other words, Paul, when he come before the people, that Paul was operating in the spirit of humbleness, humility. He didn't try to put on all of this stuff on the people like, I'm an apostle and honor me, you got to worship me. Now that he wasn't putting on that stuff. He was very humble. But when he was away from the people, he was bragging about the people. He was talking about how much there was
endeavoring to follow the leading of the scriptures, you know, that the apostles had given them, the teaching that he had given them, that the apostles had given to them. So he was bragging about, you know, when you get a pastor that he sees you're growing, and this pastor decides to not pull you down but lift you up, you know, because a lot of people will pull you down. But when you get a pastor who will pull you up and say, well, you know, Brother John is doing well. Brother John was with me for 6 years, 2 years, 8 months, whatever. But Brother John has come so far, and he is steadily growing. You know, it makes you feel good. It makes you want to go deeper. So he began to talk to them in such a way that, you know, sometimes the people were looking at him like he wasn't bold. But he was humble because, you know, he wanted them to see the side of him that was like Christ. Hallelujah. And this is how we want to be. So let me just continue this. He says, hallelujah, glory to God. Bless the name of the Lord. Let's go back here to 2. Now I ask, when I am present, that I will not need to be bold with the confidence with which I propose to show boldness towards some who consider us as behaving according to the flesh. Hallelujah. For although we are living in the flesh, we do not wage war against or according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not merely human, powerful to God for the tearing down of fortresses, tearing down arguments, and all pride that is raised up against the knowledge of God, and taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. Now, when you get to the understanding what the gospel is saying, what the gospel requires, and the gospel requires what God requires. Understand? When you get to that place, the man of God, the woman of God will chastise you. When you step out of line and start walking different, because the man of God, the woman of God expect us to react a certain way, to live a certain way, to be a certain way. So this is why what Paul is saying. When you get to the complete, whenever your obedience is complete, when you get to the full understanding of what the gospel is requiring, what the gospel is saying, you will be punished for your disobedience. We have the knowledge that Christ has died on the cross, that he gave his life for us, and he expects us to live a life that honors him. In obedience, I always talk about, it's not how much we give, but how much we live, how we live. This is what he's looking for. And sometimes, from time to time, we find it difficult to continue on the path of righteousness. Paul continued. You are looking at things according to appearance or in the natural. If anyone is convinced he himself is Christ, he should consider his disconcerning himself again. That just as Christ himself is, so also are we. For even if I boast somewhat more about our authority that the Lord gave us for building you up and not for tearing you down, I will not be put to shame, so that I do not want to appear as if I were terrifying you by my letters. See, Paul is saying that he got this word from the Lord for the church, but he don't want to use it as a cloak to hold them in bondage Understand? But he wants to use it in a way that the people will receive and want to live in a way to honor God. And he wants to know that when he is using this, that he wouldn't have a reason to be ashamed because he's doing it according to the instructions that he got from the Lord. I'd like to say, how are you doing it? How are you doing? How are you living? What is your life saying to others? As a preacher, as a teacher of the gospel, what is your life saying to others that see you on your job? Your family members that are not saved, what are your life saying to them? I'm talking about battling for the faith or fighting for the faith. See, when you're fighting for the faith, it's not just preaching the gospel. It's living the gospel. You understand? They went through all type of stuff. The apostles went through all type of stuff so that we can have a clear understanding of how God expect us to live. Because they lived that way. They died a very terrible death for the gospel. There was no joy in what they had to go through for the gospel. Look at Isaiah. He was sorted too, you know, as a prophet. But we're talking about battling for the faith or fighting for the faith. So Paul continued to speak to us. He said, so that I do not want to appear as if I were terrifying you by my letters, because it is said, his letters are severe and powerful, but his bodily appearance is weak, and his speech is of no account. See, Paul sent many letters to them to give them instructions how to live. But when Paul came before them, he was very humble. He was meek, and they was taking his meekness for weakness. Hallelujah. He wasn't coming to them and putting any pressure on them. He gave them the instruction that they should follow. They said, well, the word is good that he sent us. But when he come between us, man, he weak. He don't speak it like he should be speaking. Probably because Paul didn't want to make them feel like they were prisoners. And he was the prison guard. So he came with this humility, this humbleness. That's why the people didn't understand Jesus. Because when he came into the world as God in the flesh, he came humble. He didn't come with chariots and all this great entourage. They didn't believe that he was. He was who he said he was. You know, when people see you carry yourself humble, they don't want to give you what you do as a servant of God. So they say, well, I mean, they expect you to walk around with a priest collar on and have a robe on and have a Bible in your hand and always going that way. No, but no, you come humble, you know, honoring God. You don't have to always have a blue horn in your hand. Listen what Paul says. Let such a person considered this, that what we are in word by letter, when we are absent, we will also be in action when we are present. For we do not dare to classify or to compare ourselves with some who commend themselves, but dare themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, do not understand. You know, some people puff themselves up. They glorify themselves. They act like they're all that. I like to say the bag of chips and the Pepsi Cola. They think they're all there because they measure themselves by themselves. In the book of John chapter 5, I think it's verse 44 or somewhere around there,
that Jesus said that, that some people, that he said that, I'm paraphrasing, he said that you receive honor from each other, not the honor that comes from God. You know, they want honor from this bishop, want honor from the next bishop, and the next bishop get the next bishop, and the apostle give the another apostle honor, you know, but they're not seeking the honor that comes from above. How do we seek the honor that comes from above? I thank you. I'm glad you asked that question. We seek this honor by living a life of obedience. A life of obedience. Studying, fasting, and seeking God the more. Hallelujah. One bishop told me one time, and he's an awesome preacher, let me if I say so. I mean, when I say he's an awesome preacher, he know how to really deliver the word. But he never experienced the true power of God, the anointing of God. How do we know this? Because this bishop was dibbing and dabbing in the worldly stuff. He was gambling, and it was, you know, the stuff that's going on now, men with men and stuff, all this stuff. So one day he just decided, said, look, I'm going to go in the room, and I'm going to stay in the room till I hear from God. And he went in the room and just laid out. And he said, God, I'm not going to leave till you speak to me. Then God convicted. He stayed in there for a long, long time. And just when he thought he was going to give up, the Spirit spoke to him. And I tell you, if you see him, yeah, he had heart attack and all type of stuff, almost died. And God lift him up, bring him back out. And he preaching with more fire now. But this is different. The fire that he's preaching with now, a different fire. Not the strange fire like Aaron and his sons took to the altar. He fighting with the fire of God, because what God has convicted him, and he repented. And he started living truly for God. This is what God is saying. You can't fight, you can't battle for the faith if you're not living holy. Because people are going to say, man, I don't want to hear her. I don't want to hear him. You know, preachers come, I've seen them do stuff. Man, I don't want to hear that. I know this bishop can preach too. And people say, well, man, I don't want to hear Bishop so-and-so because Bishop so-and-so, man, he live a promiscuous lifestyle. Right here in Boston. And I hear the people saying, I said, man, I don't want to ever be like that. You're going before people that really don't, are not receiving the word of God because of your lifestyle. Deacon Fraser says, you got to check yourself before you wreck yourself. You have, we, each and every one of us, because we, I don't want you to receive me, but I want you to receive the Christ that sent me. All of us should have that mindset. Now, this is what he says. I hope you can hear me because I'm using a different set of Bluetooth. Paul says, for we do not dare to classify or to compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. See, they're boasting. But they themselves, when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, do not understand. But we will boast beyond limits. But according to the measure of the assignment that God has assigned to us as a measure to reach even as far as you. See, we're going to boast, but we're going to boast according to the assignment. The call that's upon my life, upon our lives, what God has called us to do, we're going to tell people about it. And we're going to let them know that he's the one who sent us. We didn't just get up one day and say, where are we going? He sent us. We are apostles. We are sent. We are ministers. We are sent. And we're going to live the life as sent people. Do you hear what I'm saying? I don't know if I'm talking to anybody this morning, but this is the life we got to live. We got to live the life of someone who knows that they're being sent. So we're battling, but we're not battling all on our own. We're battling in prayer. This is the battle that God wants us to do. Because remember, the battle is not ours, it's the Lord. He's fighting the battle. And the battle that we're going to fight is praying, fasting. We're going to fight this battle for the faith on our knees.
our knees. And when we come off our knees, our lifestyle going to show the people that we are his. My God, my God. Listen. The truth, the same is true in spiritual warfare. Our spiritual battles and warfare are real. Even though we cannot physically see the attacker, but we know who the attacker is. The attacker is Satan, because the Bible says that he is accuser. He is an accuser of the brethren. It's not me accusing you. It's not you accusing me. It's Satan that's accusing us. He doesn't want us to fellowship. That's why we can't fellowship. We're ready to go. We don't want to come. We don't want to share to have somebody else. I don't know it all. Apostle Stuart don't know it all. Pastor George Stuart don't know it all. That's why God gave all of us in measure. And when he gives us, everybody have a part to play. The toes can't do what the fingers do. Neither can the eyes do what the ears do. Do you hear me today? Hallelujah. So we have to coordinate all of these different members to complete the action that we want done. If I want to go to the store, I can't sit with the hand going down to the store and the feet are back at the house. How are you going to get to the store without your feet? But God says all of us have to play a part. We are many members, but one body. And what happened is when we come in and we shared yesterday, Apostle Stuart shared so powerful. Oh, my God, he released so powerful yesterday. And listen, with God, because when you add, when you put in your 2 cents, I like to say, I may put a penny. It helps, because you may say something that somebody, I didn't say somebody needs. As the war between good and evil escalates, every believer must get involved. Revealing how to pray with strength and purpose. We must know how to pray, every believer. The more you pray, the stronger you're going to become in your prayer life. Hallelujah. When you pray, you activate heaven's order to move on your behalf. Here are 3 points on how to fight in the midst of spiritual warfare. Be alert and sensitive to what is going on in your heart and mind. You must study the scriptures. So when you're praying the scriptures. You must set a specific time that you're going to pray. That doesn't mean that you don't pray at other times, but you must set a specific time that you're going to pray, that you're going to go in intercede, talk to God for yourself, for your family, for the church, and for the world, for the government. You're going to go in and intercede. For the people that don't care for you, you're going to intercede. The ones that talk bad about you, the family members that cut you up, you're going to intercede for them. You're doing warfare. Because guess what? It is not them that are against us. It's the enemy that's using them to come against us. This is warfare, people. Am I the only one experiencing a potential increase in spiritual warfare? For an example, I would have a wonderful conversation with your fellow Christian. But then with an unbeliever, it seemed like I don't have anything to say. We ought to be able to find something to draw that unbeliever in. Spiritual warfare is a battle we all go through as Christians. The devil is the accuser of the brethren, the Bible says. So when you are a new Christian, the violence even stronger, because he doesn't want you to get on the path of righteousness. But where you are, what we call a mature Christian, the battle is still there. The battle is still there. It's still there. And it is strong, because the Bible says that when he leaves a house, he goes away looking for a dry place. And he comes back and he can't find a place to rest. He comes back with seven other demons. See, he is cast out of you as a mature Christian. But he's not giving up on you. I want you to understand this. Because sometimes we say, well, why am I going through so much? I'm looking at myself every day. I'm weighing myself out before the Lord. And I'm saying, Lord, why is all this stuff happening to me? And then as I'm saying this to the Lord, I hear the Lord say, why not you? You know, why not you? I didn't withhold my son from the cross for your salvation. Why not you? And the Lord look at this that I'm dealing with as a little nothing. Spiritual warfare is real. As long as you are in the body of Christ and in this side of the grave, you're going to experience spiritual warfare. Sometimes it happens when from your family members. Sometimes it happens from people on your job. Sometimes it takes place in the very church that you're in, the building that you're in, the body of believers that you're in. You got to know exactly how to pray. Spiritual warfare is a phrase we might hear some Christian use. But the truth is many people do not fully know what it is, or what to do about it. On one way to explain spiritual warfare is by comparing it to physical war. Historical battles were often about controlling territory for political or economic power. Spiritual warfare is the battle for control over spiritual people's soul. Satan is fighting for your soul. The battle that's going on is between good and evil. God wants us to be with him. Satan wants us to be with him. So there's a battle going on. This is where we have to spend time in prayer. Prayer draws us closer to the sovereign Lord. You ever notice that when you're going through some stuff and you feel like you're going to just flip up, you're going to just lose it? And you start to say, Lord, have mercy. Father, I just thank you that you are the keeper of my soul. I just thank you that you're the lift of my head, Lord. No weapons formed against me shall prosper. And you start to talk the word of God. You start to speak it. That something comes over you. And we call it peace. We don't really understand. But it comes over us and it takes full control. No, because you are in a different realm. You are in a spiritual realm. And this war that you're in, now he takes over. You are being tried. You're being tested. But he takes over. And he begins to fight that force. You remember when Daniel was praying, he fasted for 21 days. And he was praying. What happened? The enemy was fighting against him. The wicked spirits of Persia was fighting against him. But Daniel, Michael was released. And Gabriel was released. The warriors of heaven was released to come and fight for him. They didn't want the prayers to get through. Sometimes you just want to go down, hit bombing and go. No, you got to stay in there. Because you're praying and nothing happening because the enemy is working. Satan and his agents is working against your prayer. Don't want your prayers to get through. Don't want your healing to take place. Don't want deliverance to take place. Don't want you to get that job, because if you get that job, you're going to help in the body of Christ. You're not going to procrastinate. You're not going to have excuse of why not to give. You're going to give. So Satan don't want you to get that job. If you get that job, man, you're going to give.
So he going to do everything. That's why when you go down there, you begin to talk to God. One prophetess sent me a message 2 days ago. And she said, Apostle, I want you to be in agreement with me. Okay, be careful. She says, I need you to be in agreement with me because I'm looking for another job. And she said, I want a good job, making at least $16 or more. And see, because she has figured out how much money she needs to gross each week, how much money she needs to take home in order to take care of her bills. And as I was reading her text, the Lord says to me, my spirit should tell her, I've already opened doors for her that no one can close. And I'm closing doors that she will not be able to open back in. And I told her, and I said, you're going to get a better job than the last job you had. And she says, thank you, Apostle, I believe. Whether you believe in and follow him or not, God created you for a reason. He created you to know him and experience his love. He created you for you to love others as you love yourself, and to use your skills, talents, for the good of the world, to point people to him. However, God has an enemy who is known as Satan or the devil. Because he is an enemy to God and God's people, he is sometimes referred to as simple, the enemy. Sometimes we just call him the enemy instead of Satan or the devil or Beelzebub. We just say the enemy. And that's who he is. He's the enemy of God and he's the enemy of God's people. That's why I said it's not you fighting against me or I fighting against you. Satan is committed to preventing people from knowing God and trusting him with their lives. Now, the enemy tactics may differ depending on whether someone is already a Christian or not. But his ultimate purpose is always to keep people from experiencing the love of God. Hallelujah. Whenever you feel under spiritual attack, you know someone else who might be, or you just want to understand spiritual warfare better. Below all praise is warfare. Above all praise is warfare. Surrounding all praise, our worship is warfare. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and 4, the NIV, the God of this age has blinded the minds of the of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. You know, why people are not coming? Sometimes you are saying, why they don't want to get God? And because you know him, you want other people to know him. And you say, why they don't want to come to the church building? Why don't they want to come to revival? Because the enemy had blinded their eyes. He showed them something as to entice them to keep them away from the place where deliverance is. How are you involved in spiritual warfare? Ask yourself. How are you involved in spiritual warfare? Are you in prayer? Are you in fasting? How are you? Do you know your enemy? The world, the flesh, and the devil. I know sometimes we don't consider that our flesh is our enemy.
But when that desire, that craving, that need come in your flesh that you know is not of God, that's the enemy. When I feel like going out and having sex with this other woman that's not my wife, when you feel like going out and having sex with that man that's not your husband, that's the enemy. It's your flesh. And then the word shows us stuff.
Your eyes sure won't shut.
Give me a minute. 1 minute, please. In of the Lord Jesus, we are grateful. Hallelujah. All right, that's all finished. Hallelujah. You got to know that you have to be able to stand up for the truth. Don't be afraid to tell people about Jesus. Don't be afraid to tell them your testimony, because that's where the power is. Sharing what God has done for you. Hallelujah. That's part of your warfare. Do you know that? That's part of your warfare. The devil shuts people's mouth, even using the pastor, using the bishop, the apostle, some of these folk inside the church building. And they tell you you don't have to share your testimony all the time. You don't need to share your testimony anytime. I mean, there's time for testimony service. But they don't want you to share your testimony. You understand? That's part of warfare. When you share your testimony, you are victorious over the devil. Do you know that? It gives you victory over the devil. It makes you get to the place where everything, nothing that's concerned. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they no longer love their life unto death. See, when the more you share your testimony, the freer you're going to become. That's part of your warfare. But we get comfortable now because I don't smoke coke anymore. We get comfortable because we don't shoot heroin anymore. We get comfortable because we don't get drunk anymore. Oh, we don't steal anymore. We don't fornicate. We don't commit adultery. We don't gamble anymore. We get comfortable. But God said that when you share that, you not only helping somebody, but you're helping yourself. You're getting stronger in that area. That don't mean he's not going to show you another area in your life that you got to work on. But you got strength over that. And then in the other area, you said, well, I know God delivered me over here. I know when I was doing this stuff and doing that and acting a fool that God delivered me. So I can trust him now. I can trust him in this other area because he worked for me in this area. Hallelujah. And this is what I look at. I look at areas of my life that he delivered me. And then I say, well, God, I thank you for this area. I thank you for this and thank you for that. Hallelujah. And then fear goes out the window. You don't fear over this or fear over that, because you remember the strength, the power, the authority that he has released in your life to give you the victory. You have victory. We have victory in him. Hallelujah, glory to God. So you get excited. Tell somebody about him. Now let me go back into here. The garage is fixed. But here, you've got to know your enemy. And you've got to know that your enemy consists of the world system, your flesh, and the devil. Fight his spiritual battles the Jesus way. You have to fight spiritual battles the Jesus way. You fight it with prayer, fasting. Sometimes these people are so wicked that they will spend a lot of time cooking up some type of satanic potion. Put your name in a bottle. Hallelujah. And all this stuff. I know, I'm telling you what I know about. And they'll do this stuff, and it works. This is what you got to do. You can't just sit down and say, well, I'm safe. And all this stuff happening to you, you just sitting down. You're not praying. You're wondering why you have problems in your house with your wife or your husband. The children, you need to pray this spiritual warfare. Somebody's trying to stop you. It's trying to bring a division in your home so you don't pray. Because once the things are going on with your wife and with your husband and with your children, you want to get your house right. You're not thinking of reading Psalm 91 or Psalm 27, Psalm 34 or Psalm 1. You're not thinking about reading those psalms or anything. Listen, man, I'm not concerned about ask the apostle. I want to get my family right. I want to see my son right. I want to see my daughter right. I remember when my son was going through, you know that apostle, and we all prayed for him to bring him out. Man, I couldn't really think straight because I only have one son. I have daughters, but I only have one son. And my head was like a chicken with the head cut off. I couldn't think straight. You know, people were praying all over the world. I said, keep on praying. And even though he's doing well now, I said, keep praying for him. Because the devil didn't give up on him. The devil's still trying to get him. And this is how we got to be. You're fighting spiritual battles in Jesus' way. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Holy Spirit rules in spiritual warfare. You got to understand that you're not the commanding chief. When you're in spiritual warfare, you're not the commanding chief. He is. See, once you understand that, you trust in him to take care of your enemy. Hallelujah. He is the commanding chief. The moment you feel that you're running the show, you're going to lose trust in him, and the battle going to become more harsh. You must pray with other believers. You must pray with other believers. This is doing warfare. It's essential. You pray by yourself, it's good. But when you come together with other believers, it's going to be more powerful. Because the Bible says one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000. Don't feel that you're all that you don't need nobody to pray with. You understand? I have people praying with me, and because I always say I pray with you and for you. Because I always say people want you to fast for them. While they're going to Kentucky Fried Chicken, they're going to churches, they're going to Popeyes, they're going to All You Can Eat, they want you to fast for them. No, I say I will fast with you and for you. I will pray with you and for you. I want you to pray with me as I pray for myself. I have people praying with me all over the world, even right now. So up to yesterday, day before yesterday, Pastor Gudis from India sent me a message. He says, Pastor, the pastors here, when they're concerned with how you're feeling, they want to know how you're doing. And he says, send me one of the latest pictures. So God sent them pictures all the time when God touched me. And then, you know, God is touching me all the time anyway. So I says, this is what's going on now. And they love to see the improvement of how God is moving in my life. Man, it's Paul said, you got to boast on Christ. You're not boasting in yourself. Man, put a picture on Facebook to see how God brought you out the desert, out of the fiery furnace. It's warfare. Because you're pushing the devil back. Somebody said, well, he always boasts. You got to put a picture up there. She got to put a picture over there with her dress. No, don't let nobody fool you. Don't listen to that dumb stuff. The devil is pushing, being pushed back. Every time you talk about Christ, what Christ has done in your life, what he's doing in your life, the devil and his agents are pushed backward. Do you know that? They're pushed backward. They say every time, man, I'm trying to, I put this on him, I put this on her, and I thought I would keep them down in the Mary Claire, but look, my God, they're back up standing on that solid rock of Jesus. Do you ever notice that? Folks, what do, man, them old witches and warlocks, they're trying to keep you down. Don't want to see you progress. And they see, when they look, and they see, well, we're working all this stuff on him, but he's still walking. He's still driving. He's still alive. She's still alive. See, because you're fighting your warfare, and God is fighting for you. See, you're praying. And because you're doing your part, God is doing his part. Praying with others, believers. What does victory look like in spiritual warfare? When you are on top of spiritual warfare, you have peace. That's what victory looks like. You have joy unspeakable, full of glory in spiritual warfare. But if you give up in the midst of the battle, you'll be defeated. Then you stop trusting him. So you've got to understand that he is the commander-in-chief. He's the one out front. Hallelujah. He's setting the captives free. And he's setting me free, setting us free. The moment that you stop believing that God is fighting your battle, you'll be defeated. I don't care what it feels like. If I tell you how my body feels, you would say, well, I don't believe it's possible. But I trust God. I depend on him. I rely on him to bring me through. The apostle was telling me, he said, well, you can't rush through, but the apostle, you got to take it easy. Why? Because when you're preaching and teaching, your heart rate goes up. Do you know that? If Nancy coming here and don't take my blood pressure, it'd be 140 or 150 over 80 or something. It goes up. But after I come down, when I lay down, I stop, and I lay down across the bed, it comes back down to about 120 over or 75 or something. And I have to be conscious that everything is not healed yet. The outside is healed. I mean, my skin is not healed up. I got kilos because that's my flesh. I got that on there and on my neck. But inside is still healing. That's why I'm still getting pains. But you got to know that the victory is right there. Because when Jesus is fighting for you, when the commander-in-chief of heaven, the sovereign Lord, is fighting your battle, you can't lose. You can't lose. I don't care what you do. You can't lose. Because I've looked at my Bible. I have not seen any place in the Bible where he lost the battle. You got to get the scriptures that help you to pray. True spiritual warfare. You got to look up for the scriptures. If you are sick, look for healing scriptures. If you're in a fighting battle, somebody want to fight with you, want to hurt you physically, look for them praise that David used, those psalms. Look for them. They're right there in the book. And while you're praying, call those psalms out. And they're going to be places that they're going to say, Lord, vindicate me in this situation. Set me free in this situation, Lord. Give me the victory in this area. Spiritual warfare sounds like a battle between God and his enemies. So what does it have to do with humanity? If you have chosen to begin a personal relationship with God, then you know that you have asked him to be in control of your life. But part of you wants to take back control and continues to put up an internal fight. See, I told you earlier this morning the message that a lot of times we don't want him to be commander-in-chief. We want him to be commander-in-chief or to be the one who's fighting the battle in certain areas of our life. Some areas of our life we want to get out on the battlefield. We want to act like we got some power to do to fight the battle that only he can fight. You got to allow him to fight the whole battle. Let him take complete control. So, Lord, I'm going to pray. And I expect you to take care of this battle for me, Lord. Because you're my Lord. I can't fight it, Lord. It is too much for me. So I put it in your hand. And then I begin to thank him. Lord, I just thank you for the battle because you show me how much you love me. God, how you win so much battles for me, Lord. You begin to thank him, even for the one that you're fighting right now. You may even feel like there is a battle on inside, on your inside, your mind. Some of the time, you have days where you struggle to believe what the Bible says about God or about you. That's completely natural. But life, especially subtle ones, are one of the enemy's favorite tactics. Sometimes the enemy will attack you from the inside. Matter of fact, most of the times, he'll attack you in your mind. This warfare that Paul is talking about is in our minds. We struggle with staying on the path. I love her, but I love her so much, but I still want to try something else. The young girl looks so good. Because you hear it in your mind. And then she come by and make some type of swag in front of you and make that look with her eyes and lips and ears and everything turn. And your heart begins to flutter. Because you now step out of that place of righteousness, step out of that place of allowing God to lead and guide, and now you're in control. And the enemy ready to defeat you. The Bible teaches that three forces are battling with God for ownership of your heart. The world, the flesh, and the devil, we tell you earlier. Thankfully, God is stronger than all of them. God is more powerful than your flesh, the world, and the devil. That's why we have to give the battle to him. We're talking about battling for the faith. Battling for the faith. The Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We have to stay on the battlefield with God. We are praying, but God is leading. See, we are on spiritual battlefield. As we stand right now, we are in spiritual battlefield because the enemy does not want you, does not want us to continue. Society and customs in the world encourage people to think and act in certain ways. Some elements of every society or culture can point you to Jesus. Some are neither good nor bad. And some directly conflict with your ability to follow Jesus and maintain a strong connection with God. We have to watch what we are following. Sometimes the stuff is on the TV. I know somebody called it the one-eyed devil. You have to watch. And now, you know, when we were growing up, TV was clean. But now you're watching TV and all of these things, they call them pop-ups. I didn't understand that. My granddaughter said, yeah. She said, granddad, she said, grandpa. Because that's what she called me. She said, grandpa, that's how the stuff, the ads come up. They just come on the screen. You know, you can be watching the movie and all of a sudden the movie is going on stand. And this ad come up. And they show you two men, two women, and their French kisses. Because they're trying to get that truth to you so that you'll become comfortable when you see that nasty, filthy stuff on TV. But you got to reject that stuff. I don't watch everything. I like watching them old westerns and stuff called it. You know, they ain't got all that stuff. I watch old detective movies. Barney Miller and somebody else. All that kind of stuff I watch. You have to be careful. Because you have to guard your soul. You have to guard your soul. Remember, I told you that the devil is fighting for your soul. God is fighting for it. But he's different to the devil. The devil said, I'll give you no second chance. God will give you a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance. Because he knows how precious your soul is. Hallelujah. That's why we want people to get saved. Now, he said, now look, scripture states, that to walk closely with God, you need to be alert to the ways you are influenced by the people around you. Watch the people. 1 John 2 and 16. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes from the Father but from the world. Come not from the Father, excuse me. Let's read this again. The glass is playing tricks. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. And the world represents Satan, the devil. He is causing you to have this desire to lust after somebody that's not your husband or your wife, not your mate. As you pray regularly, ask God if there are ways you are putting something the world values before him in your life. Ask God if you are putting anything in this world when you pray before him. Paul says, hallelujah, glory to God. Verse 16 of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So that we may proclaim the gospel in the regions that lie beyond you, and not boast in the things accomplished in the area assigned to someone else. But the one who boasts, let him boast in the Lord. For it is not the one commending himself who is approved, but the one the Lord commends. Everything that we have, I know I tell him. I said, Lord, the gifts that I have come from you. My skill, my talent, everything that I have come from you. Without you, I can do nothing. And I told him that. And I crouched to him. Seriously, I crouched to him when I'm in pain. And I asked him to help me. Sometimes, you know, I tell you, and I mean that. Excuse me. I tell you that, Mother Peter, that sometimes the pain is so heavy, so hard. If you never had, sometimes it's so hard. One time I had a pain. It was so bad, Pastor. I told my wife, I said, honey, I feel like cutting this hand off. It was so bad. This is what happens when people are having a heart attack. But my heart is fixed, so I know I wouldn't have a heart attack. But the pain coming from something called a flutter that opens and closes. And I'm going to see the doctor. I called him this morning, my cardiologist. And when I got an appointment to see him on the 4th of April, I'm trying to get the appointment drop closer. And I'm going to see if I can get an appointment call. They said, well, they can put me on some kind of medication. Well, you have to carry that medication your whole life, you know, to deal with that pain. And I don't want to have that pain the rest of my life. I want to be doing something else for the Lord. So I want to see if they can go. They said they were coming through my groin, and they can go in there and fix it. Yeah, just go ahead and do it. Get it done. The insurance take care of it. So far, we over $60,000. Over $60,000. But we don't have to pay that. We're paying some, but not that. We still got other bills coming, so we know we're going to be higher than that. Listen. Romans chapter 7, verse 21 to 23. Romans chapter 7. We're talking about battling for the faith. You can't sit down and be comfortable while people are dying and go to hell. And you got to know what we say, that you know who you are in Christ Jesus. If you don't know who you are, these people will control you. They will have you go through round and round and around like you're going through the tulips. You don't know where you're going. No, you can't do that. You understand? You have to contend for this faith. This is where you have to study the Word of God. You can't wait till Wednesday night for Bible study, or you can't wait for Sunday morning when there's going to be a sermon. No, you have to go in there, study this Word. Romans chapter 7, verse 21 to 23. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Inside, I delight in God. I just love everything. But I see another law in my members, in my flesh, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. See, this thing is so strong. In the flesh, it is so strong. This is why we need the word of God. Because in the flesh, in my mind, I'm saying, you know, I'm serving God. I love God. God is my shepherd. He's my strong tower. He's my everything. But inside, I'm hearing something else. See, because there's two things that are happening on the inside. There's a war going on inside of me right now. There's a war going on inside of you right now. So I got to hang up the phone. I don't need to hear that dude shouting. I don't need to hear him so long on the radio. Something is pulling at you. But I said, Lord, I got to get the word on the way you give to me. And as I study, other scriptures are coming up, you know. We have to arm ourselves. We have to put on the full armor. You must be girded up with truth. The first piece of armor that he put on was the belt of truth. And that is one of the main problems in the body of Christ. Too many liars. People don't want to tell the truth. They compromise the truth. And the truth is what's going to keep us free. Spiritually free. See, if I'm full of lies, lies belongs to the devil. I have something that belongs to him, so it gives them access to me, access to you. Do you hear what I'm saying? That's why the first piece of armor is truth. You have to put on truth. If you're not putting on truth, there you go. And if you say you go to the store, if you're going in truth, your husband shouldn't have to ask you why you was turned 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes long. Your husband shouldn't have to call you. You know, if I go out, I don't care where I go. If I go to Africa, I go to India, I go to the Caribbean, I go to Canada. If I go to Amsterdam, if I go to Brazil, my wife can never go and call me through cash, WhatsApp. Oh, message and says, well, what you doing? Who you with? And there's a lot of pretty women over there. And they love the preacher. You know the whole thing. Satan woman going to bring the best, bring his best to get the preacher. Regardless if he's a man, male or female, he's going to bring the best to you. She don't ever have to do that because, you know, when I go away, I'm about my father's business. I'm about his business. Although the influence of the world around you and me is very real, we also need to be aware that the struggle to turn away from God can come from within, from your own sin and your own desire. To turn away from God happens inside of us. In our mind, we make the decision. Nobody makes it for us. You say, well, hey, if she didn't call me, I wouldn't have gone down. Do you know how to hang up the phone? Don't you know how the phones have caller ID? And if you see, you know that the sister going to call on you, and you know just what she wants. You've been turning her away for months now, but she still keep coming because devil is running. Devil is ruling her. She is one of his pointers that he used to come after us. You see her number on that? Oh, no. Listen, there's a lady that send me text messages and love text messages. We're sending them for years. You know, let me tell you. I'm telling you this. I don't have to tell you what I'm telling you. And when I look at my phone, I said, no, devil. I'm not going to indulge. I've never had sex with her, never hold her hand, never kiss her, nothing like that. But she is persistent because you don't understand the devil. If you ever spend time, see, I worked for him before. When I was in the streets in Washington, D.C., Virginia, I worked for the devil. I was doing all devilish things, so I know his game plan. And I see the number on there. I said, no, devil. I don't want to answer the phone. I don't want to text her back, nothing like that. But the devil don't give up. Don't you get comfortable in doing what you're doing. Don't get weary and well-doing. You will reap if you faint not. If you continue to walk for Christ, you're going to prosper. You can't lose. You can't come up empty. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. So why are you worried? Just keep doing what you're doing. The devil's still going to mess with you. The Apostle Paul, who helped spread the early church as a missionary, and wrote much of the New Testament, struggled with his flesh. He gave us a great picture of what this struggle feels like. Paul tells us in Romans 7, 21 to 23, what the struggle feels like. Did you hear him crying out? And we like to preach about Paul. I like to preach about Jesus. But Paul had the same mind. That's why he said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. We are going to be tested, tried and tested by the enemy. Because the enemy knows your past life. He knows our past life. He don't know the future. But he knows our past life. He knows all the things that I love. Or used to love. All the things that you used to love. He knows. And that's what he's going to bring at you. So when you see these things coming, say, no, Satan, not today. I know it's you. Because God is not going to bring that stuff back to you. He deliver you from it. Do you hear me? He deliver you from that stuff. Why do you think God's going to test you with some stuff that he deliver you from? That's the devil. They say, God is just testing me. No, that's the devil. Ask God to search your heart and make you aware of your ways and of the way you might be choosing to be the God of your own life. As he reveals things to you, ask for his forgiveness and the strength to live accordingly to his plan for your life. Sometimes we don't spend time asking him stuff. We don't spend time laying our, per se, cards on the table before the Lord. He knows everything. We said that yesterday. He knows all things, sees all things. But we lay them on the table so the devil can see and know that we know who our deliverer is. You're not laying them for God. Not even for yourself. Because you know what you're doing. You know what's coming at you. But you let him on there so the devil can see and know. I know where to go when I need help. When pain come upon my body, I say, Lord Jesus, I need you. I call upon him. When my mind is waving this place and that place, I can like a tornado. I say, Lord, stabilize my thoughts. Because they're going every which way, spinning everywhere around. Stabilize my thoughts. Don't you get and fool yourself and say you got it together. That's the kind of person that Satan will take out. Expose the thoughts. You don't got to tell me nothing, God. I don't have a heaven or hell to put you in. Tell the Lord Jesus. Expose the thoughts that Satan's putting in your mind. That's the high place that
Father, you've got to tear down every thought and imagination, everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. It's in your mind. That's the high place. Yes, it is put in thought, but you don't have to activate it. What you do is take them before the Lord. Because even when you pray, he's still coming back. He's still coming back even though you pray. Even though we pray, we say, I feel good after I pray. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, half an hour, you feel good. And as soon as you get comfortable, here comes the thought again. Man, you know Mary wants to see you. You know she crazy, but you know Paul is like, man, he just loves you. That's mean if you're a female or a male. I'm not talking about same sex foolishness. I'm talking to male or the opposite sex. They're gonna come on back. They've been dropping a thought inside your head. And if you don't keep casting that thought and that imagination down, eventually you would activate the thought. Because Satan can't do it, for you got to do it yourself. You got to activate that scene. Listen, Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 6. You alone are the Lord. You made the skies and the heavens and all the stars. You made the earth and the seas and everything in them. You preserve them all. And the angels of heaven worship you. See, nobody compares to the God that we serve. Everything that we see and hear, know, he created. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. What power is working in you and me, in us? That's what we got to ask ourselves. If we find that things are not happening, we got to check ourselves. What's going on? Let's go over to Luke chapter 2. Let's go over to Luke chapter 2. Prophetess Kersey, I was going to have her come on today, but she didn't get the information. Then she have a daughter out from the hospital that she's taking care of. But she will be here tomorrow if the Lord say the same. But either way, come on if you can. They're going to be the word. Because I always prepare myself for if the preacher don't show up. But she will be here tomorrow, and she always have a good message. You know, I want some other preachers to come and preach, and so I can get some time to let my body heal. You know, I mean, God is healing me either way. But, you know, I get so excited when I'm teaching, you know, the word of God. But I want some other preachers to come on. Here in Luke chapter 2, verses 13 to 15. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heavens, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. When the angel had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. See, the Lord gives us instructions to everything, good and bad. Good because he wants us to continue to walk righteous, and bad because he doesn't want us to be deceived. He tells us. You know, God made the devil. So I don't think God can't tell stuff that's bad. He tells you. Because he don't want you to get involved in it. He don't want you to be deceived. Satan is a deceiver. The only thing that he's good at is deception. And God gives us the instructions. He shows us how to overcome Satan and how we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. You got to see in yourself that I'm covered in the blood of the Lamb.
You know, the world is not going to understand when you, as a Christian, says, I'm covered in the blood of the Lamb. They don't know. But you have to know this. You have to trust what God is saying. You are covered in the blood of the Lamb, and no devil can hurt you. Hallelujah. That's why you can say, look, yes, I got a testimony, and I want to tell you my testimony, what my God has done for me. Hallelujah. What my God is doing for me, what he's done, what he's doing, and what he will do. Let me just share my testimony. Your best sermon is your testimony. Is your test. You live with it. Listen. Ultimately, the devil has already been defeated by what Jesus did when he died on a cross. Jesus' resurrection from the dead demonstrates that he won the victory over death, but the devil wants to blind people, but blind people, excuse me, to the truth of what Jesus has done. The devil attempts to send people off course in their relationship with God, go right back to the beginning of the human story. He was the author of the first temptation humankind faced. Remember, our forefathers, our forefather and our mother, Adam and Eve in the garden. The temptation of Adam and Eve, which is recorded in Genesis chapter 3, provides a clear picture of what you can expect from the devil. He is more crafty than any wild animal. He's tricky. He's slick. Hallelujah. He comes alongside you pretending to be an ally. He deceives you by trying to bend the truth God speaks to you. He tries to plant doubts in your mind about the things God has said. He wants you to think God is restricting you when in reality he's protecting you. He encourages you to rebel against God by telling you that you deserve to be the ultimate authority of your own life. He uses your pride, your sense of shame, turn you against others. Be mindful that your enemy, the devil, is real. He is single-minded and dangerous. So be wise in how you conduct your warfare with him. If you follow Jesus, God has given you incredible resources by placing the Holy Spirit within you, but you need to resist letting your pride tempt you to try to fight the enemy on your own. Remember, as we started out, that this battle is not your battle. You must know this. This battle is not yours. God, Yahweh, will fight for you. You know, when he brought Israel out of Egypt, they come up with everything. I mean, he made it possible that they had gold, they had silver, they had brass, they had zinc. They had all types of seeds and stuff to plant, their own corn, their own cabbage, their own lettuce. They had animals. You know, they had sheep. They had cows. They had deer. They had everything to survive. And they get to a point that they begin to rebel against God. They wanted to go back into Egypt because Satan was messing with them. Satan wasn't going to let them go free. How many of us that we are in Christ Jesus and we see how God is dealing with us, changing our lives, but we tend to say, well, It's not happening fast enough for me. I don't get the car yet. I don't have the house yet. I don't have the husband or the wife yet. Where's everybody that seems to be prospering, and I'm not prospering? See, the devil is smart. I'm telling you, the Bible says he's cunning. He's crafty. He's subtle. You got to understand. If you know who you are and whose you are, be settled. They want to go back into Egypt. When they look back and saw Pharaoh and his army, said, Moses, you brought us out here to die. In the desert, they crowd too. They crowd for water and they crowd for food. The God that served them meat from heaven. Give them water from the rock. In a dry and thirsty land, he provides food and water. They still want to go back to Egypt. You see, the devil wants you not to trust God. This is the main thing. He wants us, let me put myself in there. He wants us not to trust God, especially when we are in the midst of the fire. He wants us not to trust God. Throughout his life on earth, Jesus faced spiritual warfare in many forms. He was tested by the devil, bringing his 40 days in the wilderness in Luke chapter 4, verse 1 to 13. He was provoked, falsely accused, and verbally abused by people who did not like what he was saying. And it's important to remember that Jesus was a man, fully human and fully God. So he faced all the temptations any other man would face. But he never lost any of his spiritual battles. Even his wrongful conviction and execution on the cross, which looked like bitter defeat, were ultimately his greatest victory. So what example does Jesus give about using prayer in spiritual warfare? Now, you know, even when Jesus, before he went to the cross, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying. Every time you look around before Jesus go into the battlefield, where he go to do revivals, he prayed. He seek instruction from the Father. We go to the grocery store, we don't pray. We go to the gas station, we don't pray. We leaving for work, we don't pray. We coming back home, we don't pray. We just say, well, I'm glad I finished my job today. I'm heading home. Well, I still got a job, so I'm going to my work. All the way we operate, I'm going to the grocery store. I'm just going to pick up a few things. We don't pray. Anything can happen on your way to the grocery store, the gas station. Anything can happen for you on your way to church. You think because you're going to the church building that something dangerous can't happen? But you've got to control the atmosphere. Set the atmosphere that you want to be in. Begin to talk to the atmosphere and release some prayer in the atmosphere. Hallelujah. Many times in the gospel, Jesus withdrew from situations interpreted as scenes of spiritual warfare. One example is when Jesus heard the news that his cousin John the Baptist had been killed by Herod. It never said that he retreated from his enemy. Instead, he withdrew from a particular place. There is nothing wrong with praying in a coffee shop or while walking in a public place. But it's important to take regular time alone with God, preferably as free from distractions as possible. Jesus wanted to give God his full attention and spend time with his Heavenly Father. If even Jesus needed to withdraw from crowds and his friends to be alone with God, and Jesus is God, How much more do his followers need to do the same? Taking time alone with God reminds you that he is already and waiting to spend time alone with you. See, God is ready. He is ready, waiting, willing to spend time with us. Hallelujah. But we have to be ready to spend time with him. But a lot of times we find that we put everything ahead of God. You know, you tell people, so no, no. You tell people, well, I want this, I want that, I want. And here you come, this, they say, well, you know, I got to do this, I got to do that. Well, we understand with property, she had no excuse. Her excuse was her real. She had, I mean, when I say no, had no excuse. She had a sound excuse. Excuse me, because her daughter is sick. Come out the hospital. She have to take care of her daughter. Daughter can't take care of herself. Well, you know, God understand that. But she'll be here tomorrow. You know, but you have some people don't have anything to do, but they have an excuse not to serve God by serving his people. She said, I told her, don't worry. I said, because after that in here, I had prepared a message and read up some stuff to give to people, to put on here for God's people. But she'll be here tomorrow. We got to spend more time. The reason why I say that, she's a worshiper. She's a praiser. She pray every day, 7 days a week, 30 days of the month, 28 days a month, she pray. It's important that you spend time developing your prayer life with God. It's important. It's going to make you strong. It's going to make you trust him. See, if you don't develop a prayer life, I mean a serious prayer life, when you're praying about something, you're not going to see any evidence because you're not going to pray with trust. Pray is not just praying. When you pray, you got to have trust in the one that you're praying to. You understand what I'm saying? You have to have trust. Man, I was so sick, Apostle, couldn't put my socks on. I couldn't rub my legs in my very arms to put lotion, skin cream on my body. Do you hear what I'm saying? Because after I was so weak, I had to learn how to walk again. Do you understand? In that little time, that my body has taken on so much fluid from what they put in my body, I couldn't use my legs. Somebody had to hold me up. Matter of fact, I had one of these high-rise walkers. I don't know if you ever seen them walkers. They're tall, taller, very tall. They're about 4 feet tall. And you go into the walker. I don't get my strength from my legs. But you got to trust God. In the midst of all that you're going through, God's going to give you back strength. He's not going to leave you. The fire is burning hot. God getting in the fire before you get there. Because when he's in the fire, you're not going to get burned. Whatever you're dealing with, God is with you. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He's not just going to show up. He said, I'm not going to leave you. Listen to me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He is ready and waiting to spend time alone with you, healing your wounds and renewing your strength. Hallelujah. This is what God wants to do for us. We have to pray and we have to fast. I give you a lot today. There's a lot more I got to give you, but we'll come back and we'll do a part two of this maybe next week. If the Lord stay the same and I'm on this side of the grave, because I want to go to the armor in Ephesians, and I want to go to Colossians chapter 1. So we have to go where the Lord is taking us. I can't go where I want to go. He tell me to do this, but you know, I don't usually minister this long, but the Lord says to put out this much today. We still have a lot more to give you. And as the Lord give us utterance, you know, have to do, operate. See, I put a lot on there. Even if people jump off, that's fine. I just put a lot on there because there's people that listening, they go on there. If I don't come on, they even call me and text me. Apostle, you didn't come on today. We were looking for your message. See, people sit around. I started when I was in Africa. I sit around, and they got one little cell phone on a little wooden table. I mean, you see a little table that, you know, that you get from the thrift store. Raggedy old dining room coffee table. And they're sitting around that coffee table. People sitting around like it's a conference. And they have that cell phone in the middle of the the coffee table. And they're listening to Blog Talk Radio. I am there, and I'm looking. And I feel so good that God has used us to bless the people way over in Africa, in India, in different countries. And, you know, you feel good, not a prideful or boastful feeling, but you feel good. You know, when I come on here and I put a word on there, God let the word go forth. We expect people to receive all over the world. Father, we just thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. We honor you, Father. We ask you to bless those that would hear this word, even those that were not here today. And they were at work. Lord, when they hear this message, let this message light up their path. Let it be a lamp unto their feet and a light unto their path, Lord God, that their lives will never be the same. Father, their ministry will never be the same. They'll begin to see what you show me. They'll begin to trust you even the more, Lord. Oh, Father, we know that without trust, we will not develop what you call us to develop, into what you call us to develop. I have two plants in this house that I bought sometime, and my mama used to always tell me, she just talk to the plants. They can hear you. And one of the plants, the leaves, was sown, it's called St. John's plant, St. John's plant. So they also call a snake plant. So they take bad energy out the house. That's what they do. We have a couple in the church too, one on each side of the altar. And they take bad energy. If somebody coming in, they got bad energy, eventually you would notice the person changing because those plants are so powerful. So one of the plants seemed like it was drying up, but it wasn't drying up because of bad energy. It was drying up because we weren't taking care of the plant. We were so busy doing our stuff, not giving it water once every couple of weeks. So I began to talk to the plant. I was telling the plant like it was a human standing there, how beautiful it was. And believe it or not, the plant began to, I gave it some water, came back alive, and it's blooming. I mean, just so green. We have to speak to our own spirit man. We cannot allow the enemy to bring us no sad stories. Doesn't matter what's going on around us. We have to find joy. We have to find peace. Hallelujah, because God is our peacemaker. Hallelujah. If you don't find it, somebody else will. But that's what I believe. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for your children, my brothers and my sisters that came on this here church line today to hear your voice. Not my voice, but hear your voice to the word, the spirit of the letter. Because your word declared that the letter killeth, but the spirit give life. You say that the words that you speak, they are life and they are spirit. They are spirit and they are life. We just thank God. We just thank you, Father. We praise you, Father, for today and for every day, for each day that you make and each day that you call us out of darkness, and we will sleep in in that death chamber and you bring us out of that death chamber into life, we give you praise, oh God. We ask, Father God, that you heal today, that you deliver, that you restore. Father, we ask you to touch Apostle Stuart's lungs, oh God. He's suffering with a little cough, a little cold, but we ask you to touch his lungs today. And anybody else that's on this line today, on this church line today, under the sound of my voice, Father, we ask you to touch their lungs, touch their sinuses, touch their kidneys, touch their pancreas, their bladder. Oh, God, touch their colon or their prostate. Lord, we ask you to touch today. Bring healing, bring restoration, oh, God. We ask you, Father God, to mend broken hearts today. And, Father, we ask you to touch marriages. We always like to pray. Touch marriages, oh, God. There's so many people getting divorced in the church. Every time you look around, people are coming and saying, we're getting divorced. We're giving up. We're giving up on our vows. We ask today that, Lord God, that you heal, Lord, and you rekindle the fires in every marriage that are represented here on this here church line, oh, God. We ask you to, oh, God, rekindle the fires in the marriage that once burned bright and clear. Father, we pray for that child that's left home. Oh, God, that walked out of their home, that boy, that girl, that has walked away from home because they didn't want to listen to instructions, oh, God. And they're going into the world and being abused and misused. Lord, we ask, oh, God, that you release them, cause them to be released, release them from the captivity that they're in and bring them back home safe, God. We just pray today for every child in the school, the teachers. We pray that the teachers take a stand for righteousness and that they do not allow these drag queens and same-sex people come in the schools teaching the kids all this drag queen stuff, Lord. We pray for doctors and nurses. They say there's several doctors and nurses that are they're investigated and on the investigation to stealing body parts. We pray, Father God, that you arrest them, move them out the hospitals, oh God, so that people don't have to be scared of their family going to the hospital, that they're going to say they died from this and then their heart, the liver, kidney go for these rich folks, God. We just pray today in the name of Jesus that, Father, you dispatch your spirit to make a difference in the earth realm, oh God. We pray for the president, the vice president, the Congress, the senators, Supreme Court Justice Department. We pray, Father God, for the police department, that you do a revamping in the police department. Remove the bad apples, oh God, from the police department. And Father, we pray for the fire department. Lord God, they go into buildings here, I don't know about your state, and they're burning to save a cat, save a dog, save an old lady, old man, but they put their lives in danger, oh God, to save life, God. We pray, Father God. We pray, Father God, that you make a change, Lord. We pray for Africa. We pray for India and China, Japan, Afghanistan, Iraq and Iran. We pray, oh God, for Egypt, Syria, Turkey, oh God. We pray for Hawaii, Brazil, Amsterdam, Holland, Italy, the Caribbean, all over the world, God. Canada, Lord God. We pray that you release a change in Canada, that he'll move from the prime minister all through the country, Lord God, for better. Lord, remove that the spirit of homosexualism out of the country, Lord. All of these people that say that they're saved and they're Christians, but they believe in abortion. They believe in same-sex marriage. Father, you create Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. You will make a difference. We pray, God, you'll make a difference. And, oh, God, we pray, since we don't have a lot of time in recording, Lord, we pray for that person that is lost in sin, that you would find them as Elijah was on that sycamore tree, wherever they are, you would find them. And that you would draw them to you, Lord God, giving them the spirit to repent, according to the word in Acts chapter 2 and 38. Lord, that they will repent, turn from their wicked ways, that they will come to you, Lord Jesus, to receive the gift of salvation. Isaiah denounced Satan and all of his agents and the world system, Lord God, that they cast down flesh. They put their flesh under the spirit and allow you, O God, to advance in them. God, we pray today, Lord God, that you would bring the lost into that place of freedom. And if you are out there today, the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believe on him shall not be ashamed. Talk on Jesus if you believe. Anybody, don't care who you are. You may say, don't let the devil fool you and tell you, well, you have done too many bad sins. The only one that you won't be forgiven is blaspheming the Holy Spirit. But whatever other sin that you have committed, murder, stealing, adultery, fornication, homosexualism, sexuality, whatever you have done, stealing, gambling, whatever you have done, if you come to the Lord in repentance and confess to him, not to me, because I don't have a heaven or hell to put you in, he will forgive you, because the Bible says so, that if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. This is what the Bible says. Hallelujah. So today I want you to say this quick, easy prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner and I acknowledge my sin before man and before God. I denounce Satan and all of his agents. I come to you knowing that only you have the power to set me free. Jesus, I believe in the finished work of the cross, that you died on that cross. You were crucified there. You died there. You were buried, and that the Father raised you up on the third day. I believe that you sit at the right hand of the Father, the place of honor and authority. But today I'm opening my heart, and I'm inviting you to come into my heart. Take your rightful position on the throne of my heart. I no longer want to be the king of my life, but I want you to be the king of my life, Lord Jesus. Take control. Set me free. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. And I shall live the rest of my life to glorify you, to honor you, to give you praise, to give you glory. In Jesus' name, simple prayer today. If you believe what you just said out of your mouth, you just confess it before man and before God. You have just received the gift of salvation. Now, get a Bible and study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts, so you get a gospel understanding of this Savior, these apostles, these ministers that God sent that we minister about, the word that they give us. They left here for us. You want to get it in your heart, so you have to study it. That's what God says, study. And then I want you to call up a pastor, a preacher, a teacher that know how to baptize and tell them you received the gift of salvation, but that you want to be baptized in Jesus' name. And before you get baptized, that you're going down what we call the liquid grave, call up your friends, your family, your co-workers, and even your enemies, because you want to have witnesses on this day that you are declaring that you have received Jesus as your Lord. And you're declaring this by going in the water, dying to self in the water. All the things that have you captivity, if you are leaving in that water and you're coming back up with Jesus, the joy of the Lord will be your strength. Allow him to cleanse you, to wash you, and make you whole. When you come out that water and you settle down, because once you go in that water in Jesus' name, I'll tell you, something comes over you. I know I was running. I can remember that day. I was running. But you come up with that water, find you a church that's preaching and teaching the gospel, and get yourself involved, okay? Yeah, don't be a spectator, because a lot of people go and say, I'm part of the church, but they don't ever do anything. Don't ask to do anything. Just want to sit down and wait. The pastor, I can't wait till next week when the pastor preaches, give me And that a good, today's word was good. You see, that's what they say. Sunday message was so good. But they're not telling anybody about the message. They're not inviting nobody to the house of the Lord. If the word is so good, if your pastor preaching so good, how come you're not inviting anybody? You know, invite somebody. You know, so the ministry can search out the hearts of the people and save people. Because that's what the word does. The word is like an FBI agent. It just goes through the soul, man. It goes through the soul, and it just search out the lost ones. It's not the ones that claim to find God, because God never was lost. I pray for everyone that received the gift of salvation today. I pray that you be blessed and that you continue to grow and mature in the things of God. In Jesus' name. The line is open now for anyone that wants to respond. The line is open.
Yeah, God bless you, Father. Enjoy the word. Been kind of busy. I'm glad you feel better, praying that God continue to lay his anointing on you, that you'll be healed and his blood will cover you and your family. Bless you and your finances. That's my prayer today. I enjoyed the word. I'm trying to get through the traffic. I enjoyed the word. It was so powerful. It was talking about fight for your faith. Am I correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Fighting for your faith.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, man. Prayer this morning, I was talking about that, you know, prayer helps you fight for the faith. You know, the Bible says, a man should always pray and not faint. Sometimes life and things itself will cause you to faint, and you forget that prayer is your strength. And that's what the enemy don't want us to do, to pray and have that faith in God to know that he can bring us out. Sometimes we forget. We have to be reminded, you know. And I just thank God, the Heavenly Father, for the word today, man. It was powerful. It was right on time. I mean, I needed to hear that, and I needed that word, because sometimes you got, like you were saying earlier, you got to, you know, you got to be able to tell the truth where God brought you from. I was saying that this morning. I was proud, you know, I said something wrong. I said, man, you know, it made me think about, if it had not been for the blood of Jesus, I wouldn't be here. God brought me from cocaine. I was on cocaine real bad and alcohol. I was drinking. And God saved me. And I got a lot to be thankful for. I told somebody one time I was in a truck stop while I was witnessing. I said, what if God treated us like man treated us? And say, okay, since y'all don't want to obey my laws and obey my rules, or go by my rules and tell man to get off my planet. Man, we'd be in trouble. What if God said, hey, since y'all don't want to do what I want y'all to do, I take my breath from everybody. Everybody will fall dead right now. While I'm driving the truck, and while everybody functioning and doing everything they're doing, they will fall dead wherever they are, unless they are entity or something else that was created not by God, but by angels. But what if God did us like that? And so, you know, I just thank God for his mercy, grace, and his patience, you know, knowing that, you know, you know, we don't always get it right, but he always sent a word. You know, the Bible says, no man should live, but you know, Christ said that the enemy came to him, that no man should live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I just thank God for the word. I really do, because that's what's keeping us. This is God's word, this promise that he made from the beginning. You know, and I just thank God for having faith. You know, the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Sometimes we have to be reminded that we have to have faith, because, you know, we let circumstances cause us to feel like that sometimes. Often, you know, feel like, you know, oh, man, God, are you really with me? You know, when you're going through it, you forget that he ain't never left you a mistake. You know, we can leave God. Now, God never leave us, but we can leave God. But, you know, he never leave us. But I just enjoyed that. Then you were talking about, Paul said, when I do good, evil's always faced this flesh. This flesh ain't no good. It want what it want, and you got to make yourself live right. It's a daily walk. It's one thing to go to church on Sunday, and like you say, put on your 3-piece suit, and you think you're all that, and you like a bag of chips and a Pepsi-Cola. I love to hear you say that. But, man, when you got to get out here on your own, and nobody ain't around you, but you get tested. And I just thank God for just everything you said, and how you say how the enemy will come and push up in your head and have you thinking one way, and God will give you the strength to have faith to know that I got you. I got you. You just hold on to me, and you tell that enemy to do it. Just like Jesus was a prime example in chapter 4 of Matthew chapter 4 when the enemy came to him. He was the son, I can't even speak to him no more. Not at that time, many other times. But, you know, Jesus had to use that word against him. And I just thank God for such a powerful, anointed word that you brought today. It really helped my soul. And it just make you want to do better and really seek out for God like you never did before. And remember, and make you just want to do more better by God, because my heart desire is to please God. I want to please God. I want to live right. I want to do God's will. And I just thank God for the word. I just thank God for the faith that you have. You know, saying that you've been through all the things you have been through and devil's things you've been through. And, you know, even through surgery, you still got faith enough to come out and preach the word and walk by faith, even in the pain. And I'm telling you, God, that's when miracles begin to happen, because your faith, you know, your faith will make you whole. You know, you walk in that faith saying, okay, Lord, I know I'm not feeling well. I'm still going to do your will. I'm going to still do what you called me to do. I'm going to still preach your word. I'm going to still be a witness. And I just thank God for you, Apostle, for that faith. You know, you helped me, like, get on here. And I'm pretty sure a lot of people call you because you can tell that you've been chosen. You know, every Bible said men are called, a few are chosen. I have others say that on here all the time. You know, God called all of us to repentance, John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave it on him, God's son, that whoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have an everlasting life. But when God choose you, it's a difference. He anoints you for what you're doing. You can tell that God has anointed you for what you're doing today. And it really helped. And you can tell that you're not just reading books, but you've been led by the Spirit. And you can tell when you're bringing the word, it's always on time. And that's how we all have to be. Make sure we spend time with God. Get in a place of prayer. Because that's where the anointing comes from. That's what the enemy don't want us to do. You can see that today. That's why I said the power shortage in the churches today, because there's no prayer going on. There's no prayer. There's no supplication. And the enemy got us so busy doing everything else, and we forget about our soul. You know, we focus on, I think I said that one time I was in the barbershop. I said, man, it's amazing how we are. We work hard and to do everything we got to do. We work and we got to get bigger houses and cars, and we do all this stuff, and we forget about our whole life is just rented. Your marriage rented. Your children are rented. It's just something that God give us to live on the planet. Remember all the glories that God allows to have, but we forget about our soul. And I just thank God that he reminds us and let us know that, hey, don't lose your faith. You know, the Bible said the race is not given to the swift or the strong, but the one that endure to the end. And it's not easy, but, you know, through the power of God and God's help, that we can continue to walk out and do the things that God called us to do. But I enjoyed it. I mean, I love y'all, all the apostles and ministers that be on here. Y'all continue praying for me. And let's pray for each other that we can continue to finish the work and do the will of God and continue lifting up the prayer line that we have, and I'm pretty sure there's many others. Pray for the prayer lines and continue praying for Africa. There's just so much going on, in Africa. You know, Africa is being colonized. There's so much evil going on that we really have to pray that God keep us for what's getting ready to come. But I love y'all. Y'all have a blessed day, and I plead with brothers you over the rest of your day. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Minister Jones. We thank you. It's so good to hear you today. And we pray that God continue to give you traveling mercy as you drive that big truck out there on the highway, and that you stay awake behind the wheel. You know, God will put people in your path that you can share him with, especially those that are lost and need a Savior. And God strengthen your home. Watch over your wife, and that your marriage continue to grow and blossom, that God will get the glory in Jesus' holy name. The line is open. Thank you again. The line is open. A lot of people on the line. Line is open. Well, we're going to pray and close out because nobody's saying anything. Maybe people are sleeping on the line. So, Father, we thank you. We praise you. We glorify your name. We honor you, Jesus, for what you have done today, what you're doing, and what you will do. We ask, Father, that you will give the the prophetess curse here, a good word, a strong word to bring to your people on tomorrow. And Father, we pray for the pastors, we pray for the apostles, we pray for the evangelists, for the teachers, for the ministers, for the deacon, Deacon Fraser. We pray for Mark, we pray for Robert, we pray for all those that are on the line right now and those that come on from time to time. We pray, Father, that you continue to bless them, that you continue to allow them to see and hear your voice, O God, in the midnight hour while they are alone and going through their changes, O God. Allow them to hear your voice, O God. Let your voice be the voice that comfort them. Comfort us. Let us all hear your voice, O God. We pray, Father God, for, O God, for the great outcome that is coming to us, O God. We are praying to for it, O God. We know that our income is all right, but the outcome is what we are looking for. We pray today, Lord, as we leave this line, but never your presence, that you continue to bless us in the city, bless us in the field, bless us when we come and bless us when we go. We pray that you continue to make us the head and not the tail, that you set us above and not beneath, that you make us the lenders and not the borrowers. Yes, Father, we are praying today. We are interceding today, oh God, for every lost person out there in the world. Lord, we are praying for those that even rejected you, say they don't want to know you. Hallelujah. We're praying for them, oh God, that as your spirit moves through the earth realm, oh God, that there would be an awakening in their spirit, oh God. We pray today in the name of Jesus, oh God. Lord Jesus, we pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit will continue to rest and abide upon us. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. And we will dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Remember to tell someone you love them. And Jesus is the only way. Let them know that Jesus loved them even more than you love them. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, to let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. To allow people to see the works of Jesus in your life. Allow them to see that. We thank God for Apostle Stuart always coming here with us. Invite a lot of people to come on. And Pastor Shield and all those brothers, Brother Deacon Fraser, Brother Mark, Brother Robert. We pray, God, for you all. We thank God for the prophetess. She will be here tomorrow morning. And we bless God for the word in advance. Praise God for the word in advance that will come and bring us closer encouragement to live the life that honors God. I thank God for you all. And I give God glory for you all. Pray that you all enjoy the rest of your day. I want you to know that I love you. But God loves you even more. Even more. And we look forward to seeing you tomorrow if you got time. Remember, I believe Deacon Fraser's on tonight. He's supposed to be on Friday and Saturday night. And the number is 432. Can't remember the number. Brother Deacon Fraser, you want to announce your number? I'll have to go into the book. Yes, he's correct. Anyway, we will talk to you all later. God bless you. I'll get the number for Deacon Fraser out my book next time. God bless you.